Well, hey, Overflow, it is crazy the season we're in, isn't it? We're at home, and what a cool morning to be able to hear and experience worship from a living room, and then a testimony from a living room. And we're coming from my basement, the Bennett home, right now. This is a little living area that we have, and I'm excited with you to share God's word today and to encourage you and equip you. And we're starting a new series, and I am so fired up about this series. This series is called Things I Wish Jesus Didn't Say. And you might immediately wonder, like, is it okay to acknowledge that there's some things Jesus said that it would straight up be easier, right? It would straight up be easier if he didn't say them. And the truth is, yeah, we're acknowledging that. We're saying, you know what? There are some things that Jesus said that are hard, but they have a purpose. And when we understand and live them, it changes our life. So this is going to be an amazing series over the next few months as we unpack the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I'm coming to you right now, not just from my home, but I'm coming to you during a unique season in our history, if you will. This is COVID-19 time, and a time where there are probably many things that we wish were different. In fact, I want you to take a moment right now online, if you're tracking with us, and just what are some things? Put a comment. I wish. What are some things you wish for right now? You know, maybe it's a change in location, a change in job, a change in something you've lost in this season or somebody you've lost. What are some things that you wish were different? We all have them. And when we begin to see actually that in fact, we can't control or choose the doors that Jesus opens. We can only choose to walk through those doors with him. And that's what I want to share with you today as we get into God's word in Matthew chapter 5 together. We're going to look at this reality that, yeah, there's some things that we wish were different, but every closed door that happens equals a new door, a new open door that, in fact, our God has a way of closing one door and then opening another. And when God opens the door, we get the opportunity to walk through him, walk through that door with him. Check it out with me in Matthew chapter 5. There's this amazing teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. And if you can picture this, Jesus has been in the city. Crowds are coming to him. They recognize that this is a teacher that doesn't just teach, you know, like others. He's teaching with authority. Things are changing. Lives are being healed and delivered. People are being set free. And so they have come out on this hill, if you will. And as Jesus is teaching them, here's where it begins in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. It says this, one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around them and he began to teach them. And as he began to teach them, what we'll see is that he was teaching something that they had been waiting for. That the people in God, in fact, had been promised or prophesied for in the Old Testament, that there would be a coming Messiah, a deliverer, a king who would show up and would usher in a new era, a new day, a new way, if you will. And that's exactly what Jesus begins to dive into. But let me show you first in Isaiah, the backdrop, the foundation for all of this, if you will. Here's what it says in Isaiah 61. Verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. This was said in Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus. It goes on to say in verse 2, He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. That God, in fact, was stepping in to deal with injustice and with sin, and he was here to bring a new day in a new way. And then check this out for those of us right now that are just struggling with doors that have been closed, with opportunities that we feel that we've lost, with things that we wish were different. Here's what verse 3 says. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. And their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. You and I, as people of God in this season, are called to be a people that are planted, that are rooted, that are planted in such a way that we're weathering the storms, we're bearing fruit. God is using us to usher in open doors for others to learn about how good he is. That he's a God that takes us from ashes to beauty, from a crown of despair to a crown of praise. It's challenging, no doubt, because all of us probably feel like we're somewhere in the tension, right? We're somewhere in that space of going, I just wish things were different now. And here's what I believe God wants to say to us today. I believe God wants us to be willing to mourn and lament and to grieve what's wrong, but to anticipate with faith and hope what's coming, who he is and what he's able to do, and to realize that Jesus, in fact, his arrival was to usher in this reign of God. You see, when he arrives on the scene, as he begins teaching them, immediately they would have remembered Isaiah. And they would have realized that Jesus is saying that it's here. That the kingdom of God, which is God's reign and rule, is here in all of its fullness, that we get to experience it. And here's the thing about Jesus' kingdom. It's within us. You see, Jesus' kingdom starts in our heart. And so, just for a moment, how are you? How's your heart? How are you doing in this time? How is your heart really doing? Because that's the place where, when everything looks different, he's still the same. When everything that we know has doors have closed, God is still the same, and he's working in our hearts with his reign and in his rule. And here's the thing, Jesus never promised us that it would not be hard. In fact, we know that the kingdom of God will suffer, that we will suffer, that we will go through hard things. I just want to acknowledge this is a hard season. This is a hard time. But I really believe that as we understand how God works through hard times, that we can also see that the doors he opens, that they lead to blessing, and they lead to true happiness. Let me show you a little bit more of what this means, because when Jesus begins teaching them, he's not describing for them. What he's doing is he's describing the kingdom of God. It's not prescriptive, saying, hey, here's behavior modifications to make if you want to be mine. He's saying, because you're mine, because you're my child, here's this open door for you. You're going to walk in to a different season. It's descriptive of what it means for us to be Christ followers, to be Christians, followers of this new way. That means that we recognize that it begins with our being. So often we're focused on what we're doing or not doing, the doors that are closed, and we're waiting for doors to open. But what if God is looking at you and I and saying, listen, I've got it. It was never about what you're doing. It was about who I am in you. It's about your being. You see, our being leads to our doing, and that's what makes the difference in the world around us. In fact, when we think about the things that Jesus taught, there's actually this concept that came to me praying and studying, you know, for this message, and it's the Gandhi Gap. Some of you know and have heard of Gandhi, amazing world leader that was a practicing Hindu. But through it all, he was very clear that he liked our Christ, but not our Christianity. That in fact, Gandhi respected Christ so much so that listen to this quote by him. He said, the message of Jesus, as I understand it, is contained in the Sermon on the Mount. It is that sermon which has endeared Jesus to me. The message, to my mind, has suffered distortion in the West, so in America, if you will. He says, much of what passes as Christianity is a negation of the Sermon on the Mount. There's a gap between what he saw in Jesus and his teaching and what his people were living and doing. And this is where the open door is. This is where the opportunity is. This is where you and I can look at what Jesus taught and say, that's right. That's not just for me to do. That's who I am. That's a part of my being. It's an open door. And it's exciting to think about because many of us, we are scrolling and skimming our way through life right now. In fact, right now, you're potentially on a phone or another device, and you're scrolling and you're deciding whether or not this is worth more than a few seconds of your time. We're scrolling and skimming our way through this online experience during COVID-19. And I think because of that, we're missing the sacred spaces, the sacred space that God has for us that is the blessing he wants to give us. There's a slowing down that has to happen, allowing God to restructure us. I mean, straight up, let's be honest. Rona has wrecked the wineskin. Rona has completely destroyed what we knew of life 60 days ago. And in that, I believe God is allowing it because he wants to restructure our lives and return us to what matters and who we are in him. He wants to create some sacred space where he can show up and renew us in his presence. Now, as we look at this today, it's not going to be easy because the next four verses that we're going to look at, Jesus begins to describe very clearly what these open doors are. And again, I want to be clear, this is not prescriptive, it's descriptive. It's saying when this happens to you and I, when we go through this, it's an open door to experience the blessing and the presence of God, the happiness that's found even when we go through hard things. Here's what it says, picking up in verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. There are four open doors that we see here, four moments that Jesus is saying, listen, this may not be hard, but when I'm in your heart, when I'm your sacred space, you're going to experience blessing and happiness as you go through these. The first one is the poor in spirit. And you need to know that God has a special place in his heart for the physically poor. We see it throughout Scripture that God loves the poor and the downcast, and he's there. He, in fact, encourages us in Matthew 25 to be a people that are loving and caring and serving and making a difference in the lives of those that don't have much. But in this particular instance, he's not necessarily talking about material poor. He's talking about a posture of the heart that is poor in spirit. What that means is that we're aware of what we don't have without God. That in fact, as we read through Scripture, we realize that we're human. We're not God. That in fact, what we don't have, God in his great wealth is willing to supply us. He is ready to pour out his grace and his compassion and his goodness on those that are poor in spirit. It's interesting, though, that this and one of the other doors that we'll see in a minute, the humble, kind of go contrary to a lot of what we see in our American culture, our American way. You know, for many of us, we're incredibly prideful. We're full of a pride that can't admit our need for God. And I want to tell you that the beginning of the open door, the beginning of walking into the blessings of God is coming to the end of yourself, coming to a place where you recognize how much you need him And I got to believe that many of us are in that spot today. That COVID-19, the pandemic, has exposed all of the things that we were holding on to, trying to control, trying to rely on. And God's saying, yeah, I've stripped you down. Are you able now to say, yes, God, I'm ready to turn to you? And for some of us, this isn't a turning for the first time. This is turning on now a daily basis and saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. He is ready to meet us in that. This second open door is for those who mourn. And this is a hard one right now. This is a difficult time because we're in a season where globally and nationally, even locally, we are mourning some things. We are grieving. We are walking through loss. I looked it up today, actually, and there are over 33 million people in our country, the United States, that are without jobs as of this moment. The numbers are expected to grow. There's a mourning there. COVID-19 globally has, the death count is nearing 300,000 as I share this with you today. 85,000 in the U.S. alone have lost their life. And as we've acknowledged, this has touched all of us in different ways. Over the last couple of weeks, we've acknowledged that in our African-American community, our brothers and sisters that we love and care about, many of them are mourning and grieving the loss of life. This is a hard time. But did you catch it? That in that space, there's hope. You see, when we mourn, there's a blessing that happens, that comes because we realize our hope is not in what we can see. It's not temporal. It's in the eternal. It's in God. It's in the hope we have in Him, that He's the one that brings beauty from ashes, that will turn and bring good out of a hard season. There's an open door, an invitation for you to find God in the middle of your mourning, in the middle of your grief, to let Him enter in and for you to walk through that door with Him and saying, I don't understand it. I want to choose it. I wish it was different. But God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting that you're going to do something in the community I'm in and with the people I still have and because you're still with me. See, even when we've lost everything, Scripture is clear. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's a great promise in the middle of a season of mourning. Now, the third open door, this is the door of humility, that Jesus says we are blessed. Blessed are the humble. This means that we recognize our confidence isn't in our abilities, our strengths, our talents, our bank accounts, our resume. It's not in those things. Our confidence is a God confidence. It's a confidence in who He is and in His character. And so when we're humble, we're in a place of knowing where it all comes from, where it begins and where it ends, that He's our source. He's our provider through the good, the bad, and even the ugly. There's an open door offered to us to experience His blessing and happiness as we just realize that in our humility and our dependence on Him, He's ready to move. He's ready to show up. He's ready to do a new thing. And then the fourth door, you know, as we affirm our dependence on God, as we recognize how much we need Him, it leads into the fourth door, that those who hunger and thirst for justice. Another translation says in righteousness. And you need to know that the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. That's the God we serve. That He looks at a broken, fallen world and He cares, loves enough to execute justice by executing His Son as payment for our sins on the cross. That in fact, when we couldn't make things right, He made them right. When we couldn't get it right, Jesus showed up and finished the work and offers us that life. And here's the thing, for many of us right now, we're hungering and thirsting for justice, for righteousness. We want to see it. We want to see it play out in the political systems. We want to see it play out in the legal systems. There have been cries for justice that are coming from many of us. And I believe those are coming from the heart of God. That in fact, when we hunger and thirst for justice, God is saying, I want to satisfy that because that's my heart. That's what I want to see. I want to see everything right and restored in the way it should be. And here's the thing, when we begin to realize who God is in the middle of injustice, we experience a little bit more freedom because we can't control everything going on. In fact, some of us, we can get so upset with what's going on that we almost become paralyzed in our own pain. And here's what I want to submit to you today, that in fact, we only need to do the next right thing God shows us. That in fact, if we would trust Him and walk in the joy He gives us in the middle of pain, the middle of suffering, that we would begin living lives that do the next right thing. I know for me, a couple of years ago, I was in a situation that was completely out of my control. So out of my control that as I was in this situation, it was so broken and so overwhelming that I knew that there was no way to fix it overnight. That in fact, all I could do is wake up every day and begin to do the next right thing. It's funny, some of you have kids around right now, like we do in our home, and maybe you saw the movie Frozen 2. Maybe you remember that song, like, you know, just do the next right thing. I remember watching that in the theater and going, that's it. That's it in so many ways. When we hunger and thirst for justice, I believe God is saying, I've got it in the big picture. I want you to be blessed and happy as you do the next right thing. For some of you right now, that means that God's saying, I want to fill you in a new way. I want to use you and your influence in a new way to do the next right thing. And where do we find the hope to keep going, to walk that journey out? We find it by looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. That in fact, in the cross of Jesus, we see the fulfillment of righteousness and justice, that in fact, Jesus did what we could not do. If you can picture Jesus on the cross, if you can picture what He did for us, you can see in that the tension of Him holding His love for us and the need for justice for sin. Jesus came and demonstrated His love for us and hung there on that cross, dying a horrific, humiliating death out of His great love and bringing justice for you and I. You see, 1 Peter 2:24 says this, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds we are healed. When we look to the cross of Jesus Christ, we see justice for us. We see His love for us. And as we walk in that, God calls us to be a people that realizes that He's opened a door for us to bring about change in our world, to be a people filled with Him that begins to mourn, that recognizes our dependence on Him with humility, that calls on Him for justice and righteousness. As you think about 1 Peter 2:24 today, I want to give you an invitation to understand that Jesus is ready. He's knocking at the door. He's ready to open it. As you open your heart, He wants to come in and flood you and renew you with His Spirit. If you're ready to receive Jesus today, 1 Peter 2:24 again says to us that He personally carried His sins in His body. That in fact, through Him, His wounds on that cross, we are healed. And so I want to take a moment, and right where you're at right now, you can pray this prayer with me to receive Jesus, his righteousness and justice, and to be filled with him, to be born again, to be made new. And then as I pray that prayer, I'm going to pray for the rest of us that are Christ followers to begin to walk through these open doors as a people that walks in his blessing and says, yes, I wish Jesus didn't say it. I wish it wasn't this hard, but I trust him and I'm happy and I have hope and I'm ready to share that with the world around me. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. And right now, I just want to pray for those that are ready to receive you. So you can repeat right after me right now. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you did what I could not do. You lived a holy life. You died on the cross out of your great love for me. And because you were resurrected, I can be resurrected and I can live again. So Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Fill me with you. I want to follow you in a new way today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that with me, I want to encourage you to reach out to us. Comment right now. Raise your hand. If you're watching, we have remote hosts who are ready to celebrate with you in this moment. And for the rest of us, I want to pray a prayer of renewal, that God would allow us in this season to restructure our lives for sacred spaces, to quit skimming and scanning and dwell with him in a way that allows our being to truly lead to our doing. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for those that just received you as their Lord and Savior. I thank you, God, for this moment and this time that we have. None of us asked for all these doors to close, but Father, you're opening new doors. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would enter into our hearts in new ways. Fill us afresh. For my brothers and sisters that are mourning, that are hungering and thirsting for justice, may they sense your presence and experience your blessing as they do the next right thing. And we thank you, Jesus, that our hope in true justice and restoration is found in you. And we commit to following you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being with us today with Overflow at Home. I hope this encourages you and challenges you and empowers you to live out your faith. Let's walk in his blessing and let's right now go into a time of worship together. Thank you again.